Hey, this is CITR 101.9 FM, situated on the traditional unceded territory of the Musqueam people. You're listening to Chaotic Music Meetings right now, and I kind of queued up my theme song before I was really ready to go, so there might be a little bit of an awkward break in here somewhere. But I am here interviewing two co-producers of Current, the Feminist Electronic Arts Symposium, Soledad Fatima Munoz and Nancy Lee. Hi, Nancy. Hi, Soledad.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thanks for being here. I'm excited for this. I think we'll probably... actually, I don't have a song ready to go right now. I started too soon. We can talk for a little bit, and then I'll also bring one up on the computer, and
sure.
We can plug it. How are you feeling today? Because you've been doing a lot of interviews for Current, and this is just the next one.
Yeah, it's kind of the crush hour. It's nice. It's this week is going to be pretty wild.
Same as next
but
week.
Yeah, exactly. This and next week are going to be...
Because, yeah, radio and TV is going to happen next week, probably. Mm-hmm. So, it's part of the the cycle with, I think, doing any kind of event production or promotion in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of, ramps up until the event happens. And then you just kind of check out.
Right.
Yeah, it's really exciting because it means that the week after the next, we're not going to wake up with 100 emails.
Yeah, so it's kind of something nice to look forward to.
Nice that, to have that break.
Yeah.
Cool. I wondered, my first question that I've got, because I prepared a list of questions, mm-hmm. And my first one on here is, when you're interviewed and being hosted on a program like this, how do you feel about that relationship? And personally, I think of myself as a facilitator. Just trying to promote other people's content. But it's still we're in this kind of classic traditional structure of host and interviewee. Mm-hmm. And it always makes me kind of nervous, especially because I'm kind of new to this.
Mm-hmm.
I've only been here a few months.
Mm-hmm.
And I've only had a show for, less than that. Mm-hmm. And the format of this show, I think, needs to change. I don't really want to be the host. I don't want to be completely in control of what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to give more space and more room for my guests to really, show what they're promoting.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not, I don't think I'm going to answer this in a big way today, but that's what I'm focused on, is how do I give up more of my control?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy to I want you to know that the flow of this interview should really be up to you and what you want to talk about and what you want to promote.
Yep.
And if at any point there's anything that you don't want to talk about, please let me know or give me a little hand signal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cut it, kill it.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I don't know. I feel like that's, I don't know if you ever had class with Magnolia Parker at Emily Carr? Her entire practice is on the difference between conversation and interview,
mm-hmm.
which is, and especially nowadays that society is so much built on a society of spectacle and radios and interviews and stuff like that, where they can manipulate what you say in either or way.
Mm.
And so she always made the comparison, for instance, interview instead of entrevista, or in French, it's also in between views, and all other languages is in between views. And the history of the interview is also really weird because it comes from interrogations. So I totally understand with that. And there's a whole line of philosophy that rather just have conversations instead of a fixed format.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's good to have that, because if we're lost, we'll just go back to the paper, right?
That is kind of how I think about it. I have a lot of resources here, mm-hmm. and I'm practiced at hosting a show.
Mm-hmm.
So if there are people coming in for an interview that are maybe a little nervous or don't do this all the time, they can kind of defer to this format,
yeah.
which is sometimes comforting and, you know, very useful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it is the, like, that's the format, and it's a pretty rigid format, mm-hmm. and we want to see what we can do to break that up a bit.
For sure. Yeah, we're down.
Yeah, we talk a lot, so.
Yeah, we do.
We can talk the whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
Yeah, we're kind of used to talking in between each other, so it's always going to turn into a conversation between friends, because we're friends.
Yeah.
And most of what I want to do is just have a conversation anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And what to you is the difference between conversation and interrogation?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I feel like a lot of times when we get interviewed, the person who's asking the questions already knows why they're asking the question and why they want to have an answer back. And so instead of being like an open conversation of like whoever speaks of whatever they want, it's fixed onto an answer that's such person wants to, you know, like it's
right.
a closed-ended. I already know
there's an agenda.
Yeah, exactly. And so I don't know, open questions and just conversation is like a better rhythm than just like ping-ponging stuff. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think like with radio interviews is a little bit different too, right? Because, you know, when we're doing other interviews and we're talking to reporters that are trying to write an article, so there's kind of like an end goal to the interview, that the interviewer is serving something else.
Right.
Whereas a radio interview, the conversation is the end goal.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, mm-hmm. it's different.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, when we started Género, like General, like the other project that kind of started the path for me in like feminist guided projects, we had a SoundCloud that was just conversations with women and non-binary folks in the electronic music realm,
mm-hmm.
which like was the project to start with. So yeah, the conversation format, I'm just down with it. It's fun too.
Yeah. When things are alive, it's more fun, right? And like with my project, I'm a co-founder for Chapel Sound, and we started doing live streaming, just DJs that live streamed, kind of like Boiler Room style, like video streaming. And yeah, it's more fun, it's more lively, and there's just, I feel like there's more opportunity for experimentation when things are live.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. And like people are not perfect. And so like when you just like have like hiccups and stuff like that, it's dope because we're humans and
mm-hmm.
ever changingness is always good, right?
There's a lot of hiccups on my show personally.
Dope. It's
in
real.
Fact, when we first brought this up, I don't know if you noticed, but your mics were not on for the first few seconds.
Oh, no.
I'm very sorry about that, but that's exactly what kind of happens on this show.
Oh, good. We're live.
This is the first time that I actually played my theme song on time and
nice.
Without a bunch of dead air before it, so I'm making some progress.
Nice.
Shall we take a break and play one of these tracks?
Sounds
perfect.
Great, yeah.
Which one would you like me to pull up? These are performers from Current who are going to be
yes,
performing.
Yes, they are. I think they're in order, so...
Mm-hmm. Swan Meat?
Yes. Swan Meat first.
Cool.
Yeah.
Swan Meat's going to be playing on Saturday night.
Yes.
Okay, here's Swan Meat.
That was good.
Yeah. Sorry, I was doing a little bit of like looking at my computer while talking and
trying
to do less
good.
Of that.
Oh, and it is the conversation. Yeah, you should definitely like if you're like Magnolia has been extensive.
Thank you. Hey, we're back. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and I'm here with Nancy and Soledad from Current, the Feminist Electronic Arts Symposium.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, everybody.
We're back.
So we're off to a great start of me turning the mics off for the start and then leaving them on too long.
It's all good.
Getting the mistakes out of the way.
Uh-huh. We like the hiccups.
Yeah.
We're here for the hiccups.
Keeping it real, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, always. So on the Current website, the goal of Current is described as to foster and disseminate feminist content through the cross-pollination of ideas and intergenerational knowledge sharing. Mm-hmm. By offering free, public, all-ages panels and accessible workshops, we wish to cultivate growth within the local community and create a more equal landscape within the growing electronic arts ecology.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that word, arts ecology, mm-hmm. Because it seems to focus on, we were talking about interconnectedness.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And this sort of, it's almost like a more holistic look at the world of like an intersectional feminism is kind of looking at like the complexity of, what am I trying to say?
Yeah, essentially the complexity of like the axis of oppression and privilege that one person may experience.
Yeah, and the different levels of oppression that people might experience.
Mm-hmm.
So ecology sort of, it's almost like you're looking at the electronic arts community as like a natural environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could you tell me a bit about why you use that word? Or
So I think ecology also kind of, I like the word also because it kind of signifies something organic about it. Because, you know, I feel like often ideologies and practices are imposed, you know, onto people like in a colonialist way. And I think expressing the feminist or the feminism that we are trying to support here is we want something coming from a more organic perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also like, I don't know, I feel like I use we use comparisons to like nature a lot. Like we often talk of like how in the electronic music realm, because there's only one demographic that has been running things for a long time, you see a monoculture, which is something that is also used as like when it comes to Monsanto or Monsanto, you know, like just like anything that is just one thing is going to be bad. Mm. And so just talking about diversifying an ecology and just like making it healthy is just all the same. It's like it's pretty much bio. Like,
yeah,
it's just like it just makes sense.
I mean, we're all living beings too,
yeah.
So it makes sense for it to use the word ecology, mm-hmm. because it is like a natural environment for us to participate and to live in and excel in.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it seems to relate to the title of like current mm-hmm. as well, like focused on like river currents.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, I don't know, I feel like a lot of times and the body is left outside of these currents of thoughts and stuff like that. And a lot of what we do is like us putting our bodies in positions where it can be dangerous in some ways. Mm. And especially, yeah, that's exactly why current is so important, because not only are we opening spaces for our art to strive, but also we're creating safe spaces, which we didn't have before in like the club scene or whatever. Like, the body's present. The body is like bio, it is ecology, it is all part of the same. And that's the whole thing with intersectional feminism, that is trying to go to all those places.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And trying to create spaces where people outside of the sort of dominant mainstream also feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
How challenging has that been to like to create an atmosphere where the people who don't get represented in the mainstream very much, or who might feel more vulnerable than others at an event like this, or just going out in the club scene in general, like how challenging has it been to create the atmosphere that you want?
It kind of comes, like, that was the thing. Like, once you get the spaces, it's kind of easy, because that's what comes out of us.
Mm.
Like, what we're presenting in current and the sounds that we like and everything, it kind of comes naturally once you have the space. The hard thing has been creating the spaces
and also, you know, securing the resources mm-hmm. to make it happen too. So yeah, like I guess resource and space is kind of you know, the kind of, I guess, the limiting factor, you know, like once we have the resources and the space, then, you know, the sky's the limit, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, you know, and that's a point that, you know, often women, non-binary people, queer folks, people of color, access is like the huge issue in terms of like why we're underrepresented.
Mm-hmm.
It's access to resources, access to space, or lack of access.
Mm-hmm. So if you're listening out there and you're a very privileged person with access to resources and space, maybe think about
spreading the love.
Hi!
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Cool. So in an interview with Loose Lips magazine that Soledad, you did mm-hmm. a while back.
Last year for current.
Right.
For the first iteration.
I have a quote from you here that says that the symposium has been shaped by our own embodied experiences and frustrations working as artists and organizers in the electronics, art, sound, and technology realms.
Mm-hmm.
And that stood out to me because it's interesting to me, and it seems to make a lot of sense, but it's interesting to me that something like a program like this that's so supportive and so community-oriented mm-hmm. Came from like an urgent sense of frustration
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And inequality.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you tell me a bit about like where was the turning point for you? Like, at what point did your indignation and your frustration with the systems around you motivate you mm-hmm. or like kind of lead to developing this program?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the motivation for change has been since forever. Like that's a thing. Like, it's not something that just comes from me coming into like the electronic music realm. It's been since before. Like, I was born in exile because my parents were refugees from like a CIA-backed coup in Chile. And so like the just wanting to change the world in order to not suffer anymore has been something that just has been with me and my family forever. And if you consistently are oppressed in your life, you obviously want to change things so that people from younger generations don't have to go through what you went through and can actually strive. And that way we can all change culture so we all fit in it. And I think like mostly, I read Wounds of Passion, which is a bell hooks book, in a really poignant time of my life. And that is kind of just like taking your anger and your pain and just turning it into passion for change and into positive things. But also like the whole like almost like martyr figure of like, I am so suffered and that's why I'm going to change the world. It's kind of dangerous as well, because then it's left to like women of color or people of color or non-binary folks that have already gone through so much to change the world. And so if everyone was just doing their part, I think it's a lot more efficient than like the same people that have already been oppressed and we have to like deal with our mental health and like deal with our families, like, you know, like oppression and they haven't been able to access like a position of power either. And so like, yes, it does come from a part from wanting to change the world, but it should be as urgent and for everyone, you know. Yeah,
so to some extent, like, you both have personally lived through oppression and you battled it. Mm-hmm. And so just to show up an event like this and to put on an event like this is transformative in a way. Like, mm-hmm. it helps out the people who have gone through similar oppression.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, if we don't have support, then we can't continue doing things like this. So it's like, mm-hmm. up to everyone, actually.
And I think really important part of putting on an event like this is also showing people that something like this is possible. So I think, like, for me, like, representation is it, because I come from, like, a film background, and, you know, the image or the spectacle and the way the spectacle is embodied and represented is such an important way to kind of inspire a new generation. So I think for me, like, doing something that, you know, we've never done this before. We've never done something like this at this scale either, because this is much bigger compared to last year's event. Just doing it, it tells us, like, we're able to kind of, it's like affirming for ourselves to know that we can do this and it's possible. And also it kind of paves way for, you know, newer generations of cultural producers to be like, hey, current symposium happened, we can do something similar like that as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. So there is a big focus on like diversity in these events, and when you're putting together a bill, how do you do that? Like, what are, well, I know that, for example, DJ Paisley Eva was on this show last month, and she works with the Dame, mm-hmm. who the Dame Vinyl, who put on DJ events and teach women and non-binary people DJ skills so that they can put on shows. And she made what I thought was a really brilliant point, which was that if you make your space more accessible and more inclusive, that it sort of automatically becomes more diverse or is allowed to become more diverse. So it wasn't as much a like tactic or like sitting down and like trying to like find a diverse cast, mm-hmm. on the internet or whatever. Just like it was a matter of making a space inclusive. Mm-hmm. And do you have, like, I guess I'm trying to say, do you have similar, sorry.
Yeah, no, yeah.
What do you sort of look at when you're trying to create a diverse cast, mm-hmm. and how do you make that happen? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think when it comes to, you know, diversity, it's funny because we are the diverse ones. Yeah. I guess, you know, within this kind of like, you know, like male centric or white centric world in Canada, where like we're often seen as like the token diverse folks. So for us to put on a lineup, like, it's more of an organic thing for us, because naturally we see those people, you know, we see the people who are not being represented because we are one of those people. Mm. So I think being you know, who we are, you know, women of color, and having our embodied experience and knowing the types of barriers and, you know, lack of access that we've endured, putting on shows or just like navigating through nightlife or music culture, naturally we see those barriers. So we can program our event to kind of address those barriers, especially like financial barriers, because now our whole event is going to be by donation, including all the nighttime programming. So I think knowing the barriers and identifying what kind of barriers usually prevent people like us from entering these spaces will naturally create a more diverse environment.
And like, yeah, that's one of the things that we've been like touching on a lot when it comes to interviews is the concept of inclusion, which is in itself a colonial concept because it supposes a norm that we have to be added onto. And that's the thing about current. We actually want a complete reorganizing of society in which we are not added on or tokenized on, but we are giving the tools to women and non-binary folks and people of color for them to be the cultural producers of the future. So like access to grants, MaxMSP is usually a really expensive workshop that now people can access. Well, it's waitlisted now because the demand was pretty high, but just like things like that, that if you, that would facilitate people that don't have access to those things to then be the ones doing the events instead of having to be added, because or else it's just tokenism and it's just seen as cultural capital for whoever is putting on the show. We're not down with that. We want to be the ones in charge. We want to, because we see it a lot. We see it a lot that we're the ones, we're the workers, we're the students, we're the, but we don't see ourselves in like teaching or in like tenured teachers. You know, this is myself. I'm in a master's program in the U.S. now, and the sound department is overwhelmingly white male, like unapologetically. Like, I'm like, really? Do y'all not look around? Like, how?
I mean, even coming from like a perspective, like, you know, with like the funding bodies, with government, with like the more prestigious art boards, it's mostly white, you know, like, so like even beyond academia, like within the arts industry and the people that are in charge and that have, you know, access to all the funding or to all the resources, you know, are generally white. And we see that. So we want to be able to offer some, it's part of our programming, like it's important for us to offer not just like entertainment in the sense we're entertaining people with musicians or music programming. It's more about building toolkits and offering people the skill sets so they can put on workshops and shows in the future.
And in a way, in that way, you kind of perpetuate what you're doing. Well, like, for example, I am a privileged white man, and I'm here at CITR in a position of a lot of power, because I'm the music department manager, and I, like, well, I have a lot of creative control here. So I think it would be totally inappropriate for someone like me to put on an event like this. It would make much more sense for me to just give support to you, who are in control of this and who are running this. And that's kind of a similar problem that I've noticed in my, in the interview format here, is that like I am the host, and really like I'm thinking about that a lot. Like I don't know what to do with that yet.
Yeah, I feel like it's a lot about like power structures. So like just like moving power around. And then we go on to the concept of like cultural capital. Like if you are doing things in order for you as a white male to have even more power through cultural capital, through our suffering, through our oppression, then fuck off. I'm sorry. Can I say that on? I can't bleep off. But if you're actually doing it in order to like change the world, and you are actually giving out power, like if it hurts, because it hurts for us to make culture. Like we've been through things that like we don't want other women to go through, but we have, you know what I mean? In order to get to a place where we now have like the resources in order for to give it to people that maybe don't have the same resources. So like I think that that's where it all lays on, in that everyone needs to be putting on the same work, or even more if you're in a position of privilege. Like it needs to bother you know what I mean?
It should be uncomfortable. Yeah. You know, so you're feeling uncomfortable, so that's good that you're feeling kind of uncomfortable here. And also I think, you know, a good way is to like to kind of to check yourself is to be like, okay, so I have this opportunity right now. Who do I know that would need this opportunity more, right? It's like, you know, like I guess like as a music director for CITR, it's like, okay, you know, I have some resources here, or I have some time slots here. Like, who can I bring on that that would benefit from this visibility? Mm-hmm. And thinking of it that way too, you know, and you could even, I mean, you could do a radio show where you're not the host, where you just do the intro and then you have somebody else come in and do the hosting. Like there, you know, you can have a guest host, for example.
Yeah. And thank you for that. And I feel like I'm offending a little bit already, because I'm making you do a lot of work for me personally.
Yeah, but it's out in the air, so that everyone that's feeling like you are can just know that it, yeah, make it hurt and don't use us for your own cultural capital. Like, I've seen it so much. And like that was one of the things that hurt me the most, that like after the Me Too movement, instead of being like a structural change in our communities, it was kind of like the token woman in the lineup. Like, that's not cool at all, because you're just like saving your back, you know, by putting like the one, you know, and not have like a whole like community being like, oh, why is it an all white male lineup again, you know what I mean? But there is not a structural change, and that's what we're going for. And like furthermore, like we want to make changes in the city. That's why we have like panels that are going to be giving direct policy recommendations to the city in order to change the places that we live in, you know, like it is, we're doing it for the culture. I think that's a big difference too, that we're like not doing it to perpetuate like neoliberalism and stuff like that. We're getting all, like most of our funding from the city and like government organizations, so like it's a structural change. Because the other one, like if we were doing all this to like give money to an already powerful like corporation that has a white man like in like the top, like I wouldn't put my name on that, you know. So yeah, just like total restructuring of society, and white man just giving out like, get, you have power, just move, you know what I mean? Like make space, like it's time.
I want to thank you again for being here and talking to me, partly because I didn't have all the mics on in the intro.
That's all.
And partly because I'm already learning a lot. And I benefit a lot from you being here and talking to me. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
and being vulnerable.
Yeah.
Let's see how much more vulnerable I can get throughout the course of the show. What next? I guess we might as well get to this question about what can white cis males do to be better? You've mentioned in interviews before that that's a conversation that you want to have. Is that something that you feel comfortable talking about right now on this show?
Yeah, I feel like we talked about it
a
lot.
I mean, I think there's also, I think, you know, I think it's important to just use Google and just like Google some of the concepts that, you know, like how to be a good ally.
Yeah.
You know, what is intersectional feminism? What is white fragility? What are white tears? You know, like, you know,
what
just
is white
kinda,
feminism.
Yeah. What is white feminism? You know, just like, I think Google is super resourceful, and I think it's just in order for us to not have to pour out emotional labor over and over again. I think, you know, those are some of the concepts I think, you know, people can just Google and do some reading on their own.
That's a great point. We don't have to get all of this from you.
Yeah, exactly.
And people can Google things and look for content that's not written by privileged white men.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. We do it. Like, we put in that labor. Like, I read a ton in order to build, to make responsible, to be a responsible cultural creator. Because I think that the world needs more of that, right? And so, yeah, as much labor as we're doing, everyone else should be doing. Just, like, read. Like, please. Just, it's necessary. Like,
I think one of the biggest privileges is time to devote to research.
Absolutely.
And if you're a privileged person, you have time to look this shit up.
Yeah,
excuse my language. shall we play another song?
Yeah, sounds good.
I guess I'll just bring up the next one on the list.
It's Uri.
Uri.
Yeah, there's two tracks. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, Uri's going to be from, she's from Montreal, and she's doing a live set on Saturday.
Yeah, CanCon.
Great. This is Uri with Mind Bath.
It's not right, but it's okay. I'm gonna make it anyway. Pack your bags up and leave. Don't you dare come running back to me. It's not right, but it's okay. I'm gonna make it anyway. Close the doors in time to leave your key. It's not right, but it's okay. I'm gonna make it anyway. Pack your bag up and leave. Don't you dare come running back to me. It's not right, but it's okay. I'm gonna make it anyway. Close the door behind you, leave your key. I'd rather be alone than unhappy.
Back to CITR 101.9 FM.
Yes.
Here with co-producers of Current.
Hello.
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 Oh yeah, that was Tagapaw.
Yeah.
That last track was Tagapaw. She's going to be playing on Saturday.
Yes.
Nice.
It's our big.
Our big headliner, yeah. Prime time.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we need to talk more about the lineup and like what's actually going on at this symposium because it's a lot. Like, there's a lot to cover. There's workshops, there's panels. Uh-huh. Actually, our own station manager, Anna Rose, is speaking at a panel.
Panels, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a lot. Okay.
So maybe you do the first few.
Okay, let's do Wednesday. Wednesday, I'm actually really, really excited to see Maria Chavez. She's a Peruvian American turntablist, experimental turntablist. And she's going to be presenting and then performing at Emily Carr with some art from Nathalie Poinelli. And then Thursday, we have an art show at Field Contemporary.
Yeah, in the evening. And then in the daytime, in the afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m., we have an NFB screening with Gina, which is a women documentary film collective. So at 2 o'clock, the NFB will be doing a quick talk about how do you pitch your project to the NFB Interactive Studio. Mm-hmm. And then after that, the film's 60-minute film program will take place.
Mm-hmm.
And then for Friday in the daytime, from 1 to 5, we have a girls rock camp workshop, an introduction to gear and to pedals and electronic music making. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be all ages. So I think it's they're targeted towards 12 to 17, all genders welcome.
Right.
And that's happening at Emily Carr in the evening. Student will be, they will be doing a short keynote presentation before the panel on intersectionality in electronic music and art. And after that panel, we have another panel on accountable culture creation and how to produce safer spaces.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that Anna Rose is going to take place, speak on. Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, and we have Gabby Dow. We have we were thinking on that one, on kind of how can cultural producers produce art in a very responsible way. So that one's gonna be really interesting.
Yeah, especially it's how do you navigate gentrification?
Mm-hmm.
How do you have more representative staffing practices? Oftentimes with these I guess policies are meant to protect, queer people, people of color, often is it's kind of like a double-edged sword, because, I've had the experience where I've asked, someone or a venue to hire or to staff, POCs or queer folks for an event just because it aligns with the demographic of the event, and then being told that is illegal for us to do so, or it's illegal for us to ask.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. If that's the case, how do we navigate that?
Right.
How do you have maybe there's ways of self-identification. Maybe you can do a call out to your staff, hey, we have this event that is aligned with these communities. Who's interested and who's allied to join this, to work on this event specifically?
Mm-hmm.
And for that, we're going to have an on-site policy translator, because the panels were made possible thanks to a City of Vancouver engagement grant. And so not only do we have those conversations, but what we're aiming with all the panels and then we have the Sunday one on the post Me Too with Better Women's Social Services and Good Night Out, is to kind of have people that have been in our communities already and that have all the statistics and just have been making culture, and they have actually encountered these problems, so that we can start from there and be like, okay, what can we do in order to change things?
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, because the city lives somewhere else. honestly, it's your city. You know what I mean? We just want to cross that bridge of being your policies are outdated. They don't include us at all, but we also want to be engaged citizens and change society for mm-hmm. better. We don't have the privilege to say I don't care, it doesn't affect me. Well, it does affect us a ton.
It seems a lot of what's happening at this symposium is almost lessons for people to engage with the system and to change the system,
mm-hmm.
because it's not working for everyone.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah, and we also, and then on Saturday, we have the Introduction to Maximus P workshop by Kieran Bumber. That one is full already, so there is a wait list.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, at 6 p.m., Vanessa Tam is going to be doing a presentation and kind of giving us the DL on all the social media algorithms and how do you create compelling content for a global audience. She's been touring with Red Bull 3Style for the last year and has been doing all their social media, so she's super experienced in that realm. And then at 7, we're inviting all the grant funders, Music BC, Creative BC, and Factor from Toronto. They're actually flying people in here to do a presentation and talk about the grant funding programs that exist. And this workshop is important, and I would encourage all the listeners to join if they're interested in tapping into some funding in the future, because it allows you to have a face-to-face interaction with the people who are going to be granting the funding. And I think establishing that personal relationship with the funders is extremely important. So I do urge people to come out to that. And also, the more people that apply to funding, the more funding they will allocate in the future, because then they'll see the need to allocate more funding in these areas.
And then that was Saturday. Then we have Saturday evening.
Yeah.
With Uri, Taiga Paw, and then Liliop.
And Goo.
And Goo.
And Swan Meat.
Yeah, and Swan Meat.
That's and then one. Friday we're having Reverend Dollars, Veneta, Zamzam, Baby Blue, and Student. And that's going to be at Red Gate's new venue.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and the Saturday evening is at Malkin. So
515. Oh, you know that.
515 Malkin, yeah.
Yeah, which is a dope venue.
And all of it, the whole thing is going to be by donation.
Yeah.
It's going to stress us. There's no excuse to not be there because it's going to be all by donation. So you might as well come and get learnt and, you know, and be a part of this movement.
Yeah. Dream of a new future where events are all women and non-binary and they are by donation because culture should be. And also, like, I don't know, it really aligns with all of our ideologies. Like, I was like, I can't, like, I think one of the worst things, right, or in society is that education or has been privatized. So not have access to, I don't know, just learning is not a place I want to live in. So we made it accessible to everyone, and hopefully it keeps on growing and it becomes even more of a thing, you know.
It's a beautiful dream.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for inviting us.
And sorry, I'm just blanking on the date. What was the date for the weekend? It's the 26th?
So it's happening July 25th to 29th. So next Wednesday to Sunday.
Right, great. Come out and embrace female and non-binary leadership.
Yes. And yeah, well, just the Sunday that we didn't say anything about.
Oh yeah, and the Sunday. So Sunday is going to have the post Me Too presentation, and then we have an intersessions workshop. That's an introduction to DJing for women, non-binary, and LGBTQ folks. And so that's happening from 2 to 5, and then from 5 to 9, Dame Diversity in Arts, Music, and Entertainment. They will be doing a workshop series. There's 3 workshops that's going to be involved in that, and that's open. It's prioritizing women, non-binary, and LGBTQ folks as well, and that's all happening at Subculture at Creative Coworkers in Railtown.
Oh, cool.
RSVP, everyone, please.
Please RSVP, yes.
I'll be there.
Yes. All the links to RSVP are in our website and in our events. So yeah,
look us up on Facebook.
And your website is currentsymposium.com.
Yes,
right. Yes.
Cool. We're gonna leave you with one track from Student.
Yes.
Anything to set up this track or?
Friday Student headliner.
Also doing a keynote and also on our intersectionality panel.
Cool. Thank you again for being here.
Thanks so
for
much. Having me.
Thank you. Listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam speaking Musqueam people.
CM,